Episode 178.
You know, when you look at the top performing shops across the country, you know, you've got 10% in that realm that are really very profitable. You know, they go to these conferences. They're the guys that are out there trend setting. Then you've got the 80%. I'd say probably half of them are still, you know, putting their toe in the water and just sitting back waiting to see what happens.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio and a special interview from an auto care industry professional.
On Point.
Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here, and thank you for listening to Remarkable Results Radio and a very enlightening discussion today on the digital sales process. The episode is made possible through the sponsorship of Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus. For serious technical training and support, online, on-site, and on-demand, Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageGurus.com. Hey, before I tell you about my two guests, let me give a shout-out to Zach Kupcha and Stephen Whitmer for their recent Facebook likes, to Mark B. at Mark Auto Care for the Twitter follow, and to Florida Scott for the YouTube subscribe, and finally to Bud Robertson and Jennifer Keating for the LinkedIn connection. Hey, thanks all for linking up with me on social. Now meet Jeremy O'Neill, heard in his own episode 124, and Chris Cloutier. Now find the show notes for this episode at remarkableresults.biz/E178. I found this discussion on the digital sales process enlightening and really informative. So let's tackle this front-end client interaction tool. Now meet Chris Cloutier. He's the owner of Golden Rule Auto Care in Dallas, Texas for the last 5 years. He came from the software industry, developing solutions for companies like Southwest Airlines and Wyndham International. He worked for companies that understand the marriage of service and software and have applied it in an effective way. After opening his shop, he created Autotex.me, a workflow and communication solution specifically to give his shop a competitive advantage. As he talked to more shop owners, he realized there was a need for technology and has since tried to be involved in helping the industry move forward with technology. Jeremy O'Neill is president and lead sales trainer for AdvisorFix. He began his career as a service advisor and quickly moved into service management at the dealership level for VW, Audi, and Porsche. His strong customer satisfaction scores and ability to increase sales consistently placed Jeremy in the top 3% of service advisors across the nation. Jeremy's been there and done that as a shop owner. With a passion for helping others, Jeremy started coaching service advisors in 2007. Since that time, Jeremy has logged more than 13,000 hours of high-performance coaching sessions with his clients. In 2010, Jeremy founded AdvisorFix with the mission of helping shop owners and service advisors revolutionize their sales and customer service experience. Jeremy's been instructing and creating curriculum for the automotive repair industry since 2007. Jeremy lives in Wrightwood, California, and when he's not coaching clients, he enjoys time with family, riding mountain bikes, and figuring out how to help others create greatness in their lives. You'll walk away in this episode with a collection of strong ideas, trends, and insights to better grasp the digital sales process and either improve or start on your way. Key talking points: the ROI is high for this tool, and it's not going away. You also must master this as a required business tool. And the big takeaway is you must communicate with your customer in a way that they're accustomed to. This is a must listen to outline and shape your business for the future. Now, here we go with Chris Cloutier and Jeremy O'Neill. We've got two incredibly smart subject matter experts here today. Meet Jeremy O'Neill. Jeremy, raise your hand.
Hello, everybody.
And Jeremy's with AdvisorFix and Chris Cloutier.
Yes.
I said that right. All right, Chris, co-owner of Golden Rule Auto Care and Autotext.me. So digital sales process, you know, it's sometimes called omni-channel marketing. Hey, guys, what's this all about?
Well, if you don't mind, Chris, I'll jump in on the lead here. And one of the things that I'm really seeing right now, it's interesting, you know, when you read my bio, I thought about starting AdvisorFix in 2010 and the changes that we've seen. And I remember when the first digital inspection came out and we were test marketing it in a shop in Southern California. And the momentum that that segment has created. But what we have right now is a very fragmented industry, and we don't have one solution for everything. So we have a lot of third-party companies trying to plug in to the point-of-sale system, and we see shops investing a lot of money in this technology, and then they're not using it, or they just don't understand how to make the leap from the old-school inspect, you know, drag the customer through the sales mud, influence, you know, beat them over the head with recommendations, and the dirty old inspection that was handwritten, make the phone call and do a phone sale. And I mean, we live in a new world. I can't believe how fast, you know, you talk about Facebook changing the face of human communication, you know, the one company that has changed the way that human beings communicate, and they're here. And looking at the digital sales process, I think this message has got to get out there. So shop owners all across the country, I don't care if you're in a rural area or if you're in a very high sophisticated urban area, the digital sales process is here, and you need to master it and find what works for your shop and your client base, because the results are just amazing.
So, Chris, take me to the day since you created this a piece of software in the digital realm. Take me to the day that you started to say to yourself, listen, you know, with all my software experience going through my mind, how can I bring a solution to not only my business, but something that benefits my customer?
Sure. First, let me tell you that most software developers were lazy, right? We don't like to do things more than once. So if you find a process that we can automate, we automate it because we don't want to do it over and over. We don't like the same routine.
Well, right? Wait a minute. It's because you have the genius to do that.
No, I don't know. It's because we're lazy. You can say genius. I appreciate that. That bio was awesome. Made me look fantastic. Maybe a lot more credit. So when I first got in and bought my auto repair shop, Jeremy nailed it on the head. I started looking for software, started looking for solutions that would be beneficial to my shop. I look for, you know, communicating with text. I figured if I could send my wife a text every morning saying, I love you, one, I saved a whole lot of time in that conversation, and she'd write me, I love you back. And I just saved 15-minute conversation on the phone.
But wait a minute, I got to stop you there. I read a stat in one of Jeremy's books that 98% of texts are open. So if you spoke that to her, she would have probably only heard that 50% of the time. So I love you has sticking power.
You're absolutely right. You're right, Carm. And especially engaging customers today. And Jeremy, you know, once again, that's why I love Jeremy. That's why he comes to my shop, and he's a fine tuner. He disrupts my shop every time he comes, but I love him because of that. But you have so much noise now and so much distraction, right? I think the digital process really helps cut through that whole distraction and process as well, right? I always say the presentation, like Jeremy, you know, he mentioned too, when's the last time that my daughters, who are now 5 and 7 going to school, they're now getting to the point where they're starting to get on word processors and tablets, and they're delivering, you know, these word process documents to their teachers. When was the last time your customer as a shop owner was able to deliver a handwritten report to their boss and that was acceptable, right? With grease spots all over it. But as a shop, we have no problem delivering that, you know, misspelt, greasy spot, wrinkled up piece of paper to our consumer and assume that they're going to be happy and go, oh, well, yeah, you're working on my $80,000 car? No problem.
All right, stop for a moment. Jeremy, you're both out there a lot. How many are still handwriting greasy paper stuff?
It's a lot. I mean, I'm not going to throw a statistic out there, but I would say it's more than we think. And, you know, when you look at the top performing shops across the country, you know, you've got 10% in that realm that are really very profitable. You know, they go to these conferences. They're the guys that are out there trend setting. Then you've got the 80%. I'd say probably half of them are still, you know, putting their toe in the water and just sitting back waiting to see what happens.
So this is a leap. I guess you're trying to be evangelists to people and saying, listen, this digital piece is so important. In fact, Jeremy, I think you may have gone on record to say that we're in the golden age of this digital revolution in our industry. By the way, as a side note, so is podcasting in its golden age. Seriously, it's been around for 10 years, but we are in the golden age of podcasting right now. So explain to me what you mean by that.
As far as the golden age of our industry, this is the best time to be in our industry, bar none. And the reason for that is this: we're preparing for the major shift that's coming. It's going to be here. We don't know if it's 20, 30, 40 years when, you know, cars are autonomous, when they, you know, fix themselves, they self-diagnose themselves, they drive themselves into our shop. We're really close to that happening, but we've got this middle ground right now that is very confusing. The older cars that are aging and not worth fixing anymore, 2002 and older. Okay, so now our market is shifting into this realm from 2005 to 2012. That's a really great mix of vehicles because they need our services. They need our expertise. They need our technicians. They need our professionalism to actually still fix them today. So right now, if you capitalize on it, I believe a shop could double their sales in 12 months if they thought outside the shop. Okay. If you don't have the space to expand, expand your hours. Open up from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. and run two shifts. If you can drive the car count, why not capitalize on this market right now? And the other thing is we're going to have people give up in this industry. The people that don't stay current, they're going to go out of business. So that means less competition, better revenues for us. And I definitely see labor rates increasing. I think we'll see labor rates close to $175 to $200 an hour in the next 5 years because of the demand for technicians and the pay that we've got to pay them.
Chris, you're a shop owner and a techie. You agree with Jeremy?
I do agree with Jeremy. And I also agree with Jeremy in the fact that I think that right now we get a good parts margin. We get that 50% gross or plus on parts. I think with Amazon now getting in the parts game and they're going to start drop shipping parts. I know everybody says, well, AutoZone and O'Reilly's, they've always delivered parts to consumers. But I think that Amazon is a lot smarter than we give them credit for. I buy everything from them, right? So eventually convenience becomes the concern for the consumer, right? So right now, as a male, I'll be the first one to admit, every present I buy for every gift that I buy for Christmas, birthdays, you name it. If I've got a shop for my shop now, I immediately go to Amazon.com and I buy.
But I know why.
Why's that?
Because you said it just a few minutes ago, you're lazy.
I am lazy. You got it, Carm. Yep, you got it. Yep. But I think we all are, right? If I can be lazy about, I wear like one pair of jeans a week, right? So I don't have to worry about washing and all the other complicated things to go along with that. So I can free my cycles of my mind to focus on building these empires, right? In software and in auto repair, right? So I think with Amazon, when they start drop shipping these parts and it becomes very easy to replace, you're going to see your mechanic from California coming out, right? Mobile mechanics. I'm not saying mobile mechanics are going to come back, but like Jeremy says, when that car becomes drivable, autonomous, it's going to drive me to the shop. It's already going to know the part that it needs, and Amazon's going to have it waiting there. So I'm going to have to raise my labor rate because just like tires we saw, margins have gone down, and margin compression has happened big time in rubber, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that 70% of professional technicians install Moog? Do you know who is best in class in engineering R&D? Do you know who holds 47 patents and has 28 dedicated engineers on staff? Yeah, Moog. You should know that 85% of Moog socket-style components are manufactured in North America, and that makes Moog best in class for manufacturing. And since 1966, every NASCAR championship has been won on Moog parts. But you knew that. I know why you install Moog. They solve your problems. Over the years, Moog has provided problem-solving innovations like a patented Preston cover plate, powdered metal gusher bearing technology, compression-loaded ball joints with a pre-installed integral dust boot, and vertical control arm bushings. You know why you install Moog. Enhanced durability, improved performance, and ease of installation. For more information, go to moogparts.com. Now you know. You know, you bring such a good point up. Digital age of the automotive repair technology, software, golden age of autonomous cars, car sharing. It's you're right, Jeremy. It is an incredibly exciting time, but yet you can't be on the sidelines.
No, you know, it's interesting. I always go back to the story, and Chris can relate to this because we were in his backyard having a conversation. And, you know, when Chris and I get together, we have these conversations that last till like 4:30 in the morning. And we're like, oh, we have class at 7. Let's go, you know. So we're just so fired up. And I remember there's two things that Chris told me. One was, you know, Jeremy, what are we doing? What are we really doing? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm coaching service advisors. And he goes, come on, I'm going to call BS on that. What are you doing? And what are you here for? And I said, Chris, I don't know, man. It's like 4 a.m. Help me out. He goes, man, we're here to change the world. And I laughed and I said, Chris, come on. You have a text company and a shop. You're going to change the world. He said, man, I am here to change the world. And if you're not with me, you can leave right now. I'm like, dude, I'm on board. Okay. Now, the second side to that was the thought that came out of that was every person on this planet we have gifts. So even if you're a shop owner, technician, service advisor, you have very unique gifts and abilities. Your role and your purpose on this planet is to give those gifts back to humanity and play at your highest level. So for instance, Chris has a duty to get his software as best as he can to the marketplace as fast as possible. I have a duty with AdvisorFix to create the best training and coaching programs and play at the highest level, but get it to market fast, because if I sit on it, guess what? Time moves too fast and you're going to lose that opportunity. So we all have to get to that level really quick and get it to market right now.
I don't want to make a selfish plug for the podcast, but that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm out there changing people's lives. They're listening, they're learning, they're taking insight and wisdom. Where else could they have gone to see a dialogue that we're doing? They got on a plane, gone to a conference, waited for the coffee break, sat in with this little group, talked to their buddies, learned a lot from the side banter that the podcast is all about. So, yeah, I think we all are doing that. And especially both of you, I mean, as far as trying to change people's lives, Jeremy, but Chris, you know, you wrote a piece of software to make your life easier. And, you know, without selling your software here, which is not what we're here to do, we're really here to open people's eyes as to the value of being in this digital marketing world. Give me some, you know, the top three reasons that if I was a shop owner that I would want to be in this realm.
It's a great question, Carm. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to sell my software, right? But to be in this realm is because change, I'll tell you, number one, change, right? Changes aren't permanent, but change is permanent, right? And if you don't change and adjust, what's the theory of evolution? It's not those that change diets, those that have the ability to adapt, right? Move on, right? And like Jeremy says, as things get more complicated, right? We have to move with the changes. And that's the number one reason. If you're going to be viable in the market to come, or if you're going to be viable. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have to be digital to be viable in this market, because there's plenty of shops that are making money and they're still doing things that they've done for the last 30 years. That's okay. But if you look at Uber, you look at Lyft, right? And you look at the way that they've disrupted the cab technology, you know, that cab industry overnight. You look at Airbnb. Overnight, right? So the change is going to come in our industry. We don't know how it's going to come, but at least if you're paying attention to things like telematics and connected car, and that's far future. I'm putting a presentation together I call the shop technology timeline. And somebody who's dealing with telematics and connected car right now, they're far ahead in the future. And I appreciate that. But I think the immediate is, you know, and I think Jeremy will agree, if you can do a digital inspection sheet, and whether it's Auto Text Me, whether it's Bolt-On Technology, whether it's Auto Vitals, whether it's Prospect, whether it's eInspect, whether it's one of the 20 out there, I don't care. The point is, it gets you immersed into technology. Kind of gets you on that first start, that first phase to say, hey, this is not that bad, right? It's kind of like have a phase one shop. Whether or not you like it, you're on the internet. You cannot bury your head, because Yelp and Google will expose you whether you want to be on the internet or not. It doesn't matter. You're forced there now, right? So you better get in front of that, have a great website, and then control your you know, reputation online with Google and Yelp, right? If not, what happens, Jeremy? You walk into these shops and you go, oh man, we got some things to change here.
So this is all about connecting with the customer.
Productivity, efficiency, and customer experience. So you think a digital shop also, and as a shop owner, and I'm not going to go into Lean Six Sigma but a lean shop, right? Knowing that, hey, I want to alleviate the waste. And the more waste I can alleviate, the faster I can get things done, right? The more productive and efficient I can become, and the happier my customer is going to be, right? I mean, that's what technology allows us to do if it's done right.
By the way, Chris, as a shop owner, do you see lean as the next big frontier for shops?
I think that it is a big untouched potential in the shop arena. Well, I don't even want to talk lean. We could go off for, you know.
Would you do me a favor? Would you agree to come back and let's do a roundtable or another discussion on the power and the practices of lean in a shop?
I love it. Absolutely.
In fact, who I think may be championing this, I'm not quite sure, is Donnie Cypher. I think Donnie.
Love the guy.
I think I think Donnie's out there talking lean too. So let me just, you know, I've been looking down, taking notes because, you know, I'm hearing this interview for the first time. And I'm listening to absolutely learn, and I'm so engaged. I'm taking all these great notes for myself. So, you know, thanks for the inspiration, you guys. So is there an unprecedented marketing opportunity with this technology?
Well, I think, you know, going back, there's two things. This is why I go back to the golden age of our industry is we still have FaceTime with our clients, right? So when they bring us the vehicle, we still have the initial write-up process. And I think that's an area that shops completely overlook and they discount. They rush through it. Hey, give me the keys. Thank you. I'll give you a call. That's golden 2-minute time right there with FaceTime. Think about how people interact today. Everybody's buried into screen time. And even, you know, husband and wives or life partners who have been together for years, you know, they're lucky to get 30 minutes of FaceTime a day in today's society. So we still have this opportunity to connect at that human level up front. And then you blend in the digital side of it that removes every bit of fear and every bit of the sale. So the customer doesn't respond with a subconscious avoidance. So what we're working right now, we're working with TTI Success Institute out of Scottsdale and Dr. Ron Bonsetter. Now, he's doing brain image mapping. And what he's doing is he's looking at when a consumer or a human being is faced with anything visually, there's three responses. There's either neutral, acceptance, or avoidance. And if the you trigger avoidance in the client's mind, the customer is 97% consistent to stay on that side of it, meaning you created a sales objection that you'll never ever get around because it influences the subconscious mind. So not only do we need to bring the FaceTime into it, but when it comes to telling the customer, hey, Chris, you need $8,500 worth of work on your vehicle. Does that work for you? You educate them properly in a visual, and it's got to be in a format of how people look at things today. You know, people don't look at a 28-page printed PDF inspection report. Here's one from a mini dealer that gave that one of my friends got, right? This is junk.
Okay. How many pages?
28 pages. Okay, I'm never going to read that. So it's got to be mobilized and it's got to be in a format that allows the customer to shop the way that they shop every single day today. So you bring the best of old school FaceTime rapport building, and then you have just an amazing, seamless, these guys communicate with me the way that I normally communicate. I'm in rapport. Oh, my vehicle needs brakes. I didn't realize they were that bad. There's a picture right there. Oh, what do brakes do? Oh, there's a video that will explain it for me right there. Oh, you want to connect with your service advisor? You hit a button. Everything's mobilized right here. And that's the fragmentation that I talked about. We have all these different technology where do you print the report? If I look at the report on my laptop, do you realize that only about 20% of the emails get open today? So if you're emailing your reports and you're not sending them via text, guess what? You call the customer and say, hey, Chris, did you get that report? No, I haven't got to my email yet. Oh, okay. I did all that work for nothing. It's no wonder people give up on this.
By the way, thank you for that because even my guests say, oh, you sent me an email yesterday on actually what we're supposed to do and the headset and the software. Yeah.
Can I add on to Jeremy's thing? If it's a one page report, it's too many pages. I just want to throw.
Oh, okay. There's an interesting extreme. 24 is no good and one isn't either.
I just want to throw paper.
All right. I'm going to find an opportunity in a little bit to throw some paper here. I'll totally lose track of where I am, Jeremy. That was a great showpiece. I have to tell you, that was really good. I could count on you to have some dramatic flair in our interview. Always is great.
Always. Absolutely. Yeah.
I do want to add on to what Jeremy's saying, though. He's absolutely right. What the advantage right now is not only efficiency and productivity, but it's customer experience, right? I think that if I said that there's 2 to 5% of shops that are really digital, that are really moving in that direction, I might be overestimating how many digital shops are out there. So that means there's a huge, huge opportunity for a shop to get digital and to get impressive before the other 40 shops in their area catch up, right? And then you create that gap, right? You create that distance between you and that shop that's saying, oh no, you know, Jeremy is Awesome Auto. They have digital inspections. They're sending me text updates. They're doing, and then you walk into John's and John's still, you know, give me, you know, call my grumpy service advisor to get the results. So there's a huge advantage for a shop right now to separate themselves and look like they're living in 2016, right? That they're just living in the current age that we live in, right?
Brake jobs are a staple component of all successful shops, and getting the brake job right helps build a quality reputation for any shop. When the best is called for and stopping distance, rotor wear, and pad life are important to every shop and its customers, Wagner OEX brake pads are your only choice. Based on benchmark testing conducted by Link Engineering Company, Wagner OEX pads can stop a pickup, SUV, or CUV up to 50 feet sooner. Based on internal testing comparing new Wagner OEX to other Wagner offerings, the unique design of Wagner OEX increases pad life up to 2 times longer. The customized shape and slot design of each of the more than 114 SKUs creates a turbulent airflow that allows for cooler operation and improved stopping power for the vehicle on which it was designed. Wagner OEX cover 95% of the U.S. market of pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Wagner has the science behind stopping perfected. They conduct 13,000 critical tests each year, and as of today, have 258 issued patents with 68 patents pending. Wagner has earned their stripes. Now they want to earn yours. Install Wagner OEX, the customized brake pad that can stop your customer's truck up to 50 feet sooner. It seems like the gap, as you said earlier, Jeremy, that there's still too many people out there with paper, which means they have to go to an SMS first before they ever go here. So I guess what you're saying is there's a lot of people, a lot of shop owners with SMS, and let me make an assumption that 20% of them are using the capacity of software. I mean, you know, software is great, but a lot of people only use, you know, the iceberg tip of all that they can use. And when you find the ones that are deep in it, then the digital piece isn't hard to adapt to. Is that true, Chris?
I agree. I would say that software, if it's... Now, here's another thing about software. There's some pretty complicated software out there, too. So software, it has to be easy, right? That needs to be the main focus, is the ease of use, right? If it's something... And, you know, I try and pride myself in what we develop and what I develop. I want to make sure that I'll go back to Steve Jobs. I'm kind of dropping, I'll jump it all over the place. But if you read his bio, he's down in South America. He gives an iPad to this boy that's in South America. The boy grabs it and he starts swiping it. And before you know it, this kid's totally interacting with iPad. And he said, well, that's what I pride myself in, right? Anybody can pick up an iPad and understand swiping is what you're going to do if you grab it, right? So software, although there's a lot out there, there's some that I think is probably makes it a lot harder than it has to be for a consumer. So then you put software in your guys, and your guys already have all these other battling priorities. So, you know, yes, software only being used at a fraction, but the software, in order to be used, I guess, at a more of a acceptable rate, needs to make sure that it's going to work for the processor that you're replacing. Go ahead, Carl.
Let me make an assumption. I have your software. I have someone's software. What have you found out there? Am I taking the leap to get the right training to maximize the potential?
That's huge. Well, if you don't mind, I just want to be very clear, because I know there's going to be some guys that are listening to this, and I don't want them to get overwhelmed with a paperless shop. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is the digital sales process. So we're focused on the front-end client interaction. If you want to print tech worksheets and every technician's handwrite their notes, all that's fine, because that's behind the scenes, right? Dr. Steele handwrite notes, right? So that's good. We're talking about the front-end on the customer digital sales process. The training is huge. So if you're looking at a third-party software company who's going to come in and sell you the world up front, then we have the greatest thing. My question is this: how long does it take me to install it? How long does it take me to train my people? What type of support are you going to provide me? Now, one of the reasons I love Chris's company is I can literally go on site at a shop. I can install it within 10 minutes, it's up and running. And within 1 hour, I have every single person, technicians, service advisors, trained up and ready to use. And the biggest test is this: if you have something installed already and you're wondering, are we using it to its capacity? Do you get a phone call from a customer during the day asking about the status of their car? Because if you're using this technology right, those phone calls will literally go away.
So that's the ROI? Is that how you determine how successful you are with this technology?
Yeah, as a service writer, it saves me anywhere. If I'm in a shop that is using this properly when I'm writing service, it saves me anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour and a half a day because I'm not making those outgoing phone calls and reacting to stuff all day long. Your customer feels better. The engagement is so much higher and you're generating those five-star referable moments. Understand, every client touch point throughout the transaction is either referable or non-referable. If you generate a non-referable moment, you just took a five-star review and put it down to a one or a two-star review. And not only did you lose a customer, you lost a client and all of their referrals that go with it. And that's why I say we're in this golden age, because at Jeremy's Awesome Auto, if I get your clients once, they're never going to go back to you ever again. And that's my promise.
Can I go to that shop?
Yes, you can. It's opening January 3rd, 2017.
All right.
Area, California.
All right.
Jeremy's Awesome Auto. Damn. Chris, you wrote this software because you're a geek and you've got the background. Yep. You watched it evolved. And when was the day that you said, oh, my God, look at my ROI. I've never had such incredible...
And I'm a musician too. I'm a geek, but I have cool musical instruments right at my fingertips if I want to. So I'm a cool geek.
Well, you know, I read a little bit about you, and that little bit about you talked about your musical days and how you were a marketer for the band. If ever someday people get a chance to read those few paragraphs on how you, yeah. How you were. So okay. Now, so I get why and who and what you do. I see that. Not only are you a geek, you are an exceptional marketer. But that day that it came back to you and said, my God, we're selling more products, or more service because of
Almost immediately. I mean, here's what we realized very early is that your consumer, once again, is living in the year 2016, right? They're on Amazon. Amazon will drop ship now to your house within hours, right? Because they're building, depending on where you're at, right? So they're all about convenience, understanding. And Amazon will also send you an email about, hey, your product's an hour from your door, so somebody didn't come steal it from your door, right? So they're pushing, Amazon's pushing great status updates. Facebook, they're pushing status updates, right? Carm just took a picture of his dinner last night, and I liked it because I saw that you were eating some fancy steak, right? And then as soon as somebody else engaged, right, I get a little notification that says, hey, I need to go look at Carm's post, right? So push technology, right, has been around. UPS, the pizza tracker from Domino's, right? So once I started immediately telling customers, hey, here's what's happening with your vehicle, right? Immediately they started going, wow, this is incredible. Why isn't everybody doing this for me, right? So it was very quick that they realized that, hey, this is a level of service that we're getting other places. We're just not getting as auto repair.
You know, it just went through my mind. So a loved one is having surgery, and they're sitting in the waiting room for hours in the dark.
Yes.
Maybe that's good. Maybe it's not. As operations are routine today, I guess it would be great that the doctor could, by the way, we're this far in, things are great, don't worry. You know, it's almost in the same vein of comfort, confidence, that there is a process in place. And, you know, did they take them in? Did they take them out?
Carm, I have to tell you a story real quick on that. So my father had a heart attack and a stroke last year. And so I was sitting in the hospital. Well, they actually have these digital boards, and it shows status updates of where the person is in the process, right? And so the problem is there's 1,000 people on this board, and you can't tell where anybody is. So I actually went up to the secretary or the nurse, and I said, hey, is there any way you could just text me an update, right? I mean, this is great, but I can't see this, right? I want to know where my dad's at. You know where he's at because y'all are keeping track of it on this board here. Just push the information to me. And she said, no, we don't have the technology to do that. So I gave her my card and I said, well, hey, I do. So,
you know, in
using the wrong product.
the other thing that everybody has got to understand is this is not going away. So the other day I flew in to LA had a morning flight, landed at 9, had a 6 p.m. evening training session in L.A. So I ran over to the Embassy Suites and rented a room to work out of for the day. I get into my room and I get a text from them that says, "Good morning, Mr. O'Neill. How is everything with your room?" And that was 5 minutes after I got into my room. Now, timely text updates are amazing, right? So it's got to be timely. It's got to be opted in. And the other thing is this, and this is probably a little bit later on in the podcast, but just because you have permission to text somebody during one transaction doesn't give you the unilateral right to text them 6 months later for a reminder oil change. I was at a shop in Minnesota on Monday, and they had two cars on the schedule, but on the left side, they had about 18 of these automated appointments. And I'm like, "What are those?" "Oh, those are the automated oil changes that we made appointments for." And I'm like, "I think that's the stupidest program in the world. Why would you automate an oil change program that the customer's not even invested in doing, right?" So my question was, look at these. What are all these stop texts coming back? So out of these 18, 14 had responded text. So do you realize that you have a system in place that just because it's automated and it's a text and you think you have permission to send it to your customer, that you just pissed off 14 of your really good clients and they're not going to come back? So you have to have the software, but you have to know when and where to use it as well, right?
What a great point. I think it was Seth Godin who may have written a book, Permission Marketing. And, you know, guys, If I walk up to the service counter and they say, "Hey, can we communicate to you with text about your work today?" And I say, "Yes," would it be fair to ask for permission for future reminders?
Well, you do that at car delivery. So this is why the digital sales process is so amazing to me, which is every person in your business has to understand their role in it because every touch point is different. So at vehicle delivery, we're wrapping up this transaction. Now, Carm, out of the things that we took care of today, you have four additional concerns. We talked about building a customized maintenance and repair plan based on your vehicle timeline right here. So you're going to keep the car for another 5 years. We said you've got this in the budget. In 6 months, we're going to do your timing belt. So I went ahead and put a soft appointment in for March 3rd, 2017. Don't worry. If that doesn't work, we can reschedule. Is it okay if I send you a text reminder for that appointment? Now, I'm having that face-to-face conversation with you right there. I'm setting things up in the future. I think what happens to a lot of automotive repair shops is we want to put things on autopilot and let it happen, but it's that engagement. It's your service advisor's job to have such a deep understanding of the relationship with the client that your partners in helping them protect their investment in the car and invest the right amount of money at the right time based on their goals for the vehicle. And if we have trust and we are in relationship, then I can have that conversation with you at vehicle delivery and watch how your repeat appointments, that they won't cancel because now he's invested in it.
My dentist is doing this for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I love it.
Absolutely.
And I love it. Hey, Chris, let me ask you this. Is selling over the phone going the way of the cassette tape?
So I saw that, and that's a great question. I would say not yet, right? Eventually, right, we'll get there. I still, as a shop owner, I like the personal touch. Jeremy O'Neill comes to my shop. He'll train my people. He's training one of my front counter people right now with phone skills, with how to deal with customers, right? I still want, if I can have it, right, I want the ability for my service advisors to sell my service. I want them to sell the value. I don't want them to sell price. So Amazon, not that there's anything wrong with it, but Amazon is price. Now, Amazon also has a very good, they have a lot of feedback from consumers, right? So you read the reviews. They've got a very nice mechanism where you still not might not buy price on Amazon because you read all the bad reviews. So the whole thing, the whole enchilada is there. So once we kind of get there to where they can say, "Hey, Golden Rule Auto Care, we say they got great reviews. We're happy with all the people that use it. Okay, I see there are different options. All right, I might not necessarily want to go for the cheaper one. But right now, to sell value, I think that person at the front counter is the option to be able to sell value. Now, that's not to say that I don't have the A customer that says, "Look, Chris, I'm in a meeting right now. I'm going to be in a meeting for the next, 4 hours. I know I came in for front brakes. What's the price? Send it to me via text." And then we send them the price and they say, "I approve, move on with the work," right? So it's happening more and more. Every week it happens more and more. Me and Jeremy have actually talked about how we can start pushing that through technology more and more. I haven't gone there yet, right? I as a shop owner, I still live on that side of the fence. It says that engagement is still a good thing, right?
How are the boomers reacting to this?
Well, I think, it's interesting in my course, Shift Selling to a New Generation of Tech-Savvy Consumer, we lead with a slide, which is, Gen X, Gen Y, Millennial, Boomer. And you know what? Honestly, the generational demographic doesn't really matter, because not every millennial is identical. Not every Gen Xer is identical. Not every boomer is identical. I was on the plane yesterday with a couple from Diamond Bar, California. They're 92, he's 94, and he's on there texting to his grandson. So, the technology works its way up. So millennials, they're the early adopters. They're the ones out there with cutting edge technology. But again, not every millennial is the same. So the idea is this, and the big quote out of the book is this: you have got to learn to adapt to your customer's preferred method of communication and style of communication. So it's that personal engagement relationship. And, is the phone sale going out the way of the cassette? I wouldn't label it a cassette. I think it's a CD. I think we're right there where people can still buy CDs today. You can. My cameraman that went out to Minneapolis and shot our course, we're in the rental car and I open up the middle console and there's a CD. I'm like, did somebody leave this in here? He goes, oh no, I bought that. I'm like, you bought a CD? Like, really? But they're still there. You can still get them. People still want them. So I think that's really, a little bit better metaphor for people to understand where the phone call takes place.
He bought it to burn it. Texting etiquette.
I'll let Chris take the lead on this.
Really important, isn't it?
I think it's very important. And I think when we talk to a lot of shop owners, and there's a difference, like Jeremy stated, and he stated in his book, right, that there's a marketing text and there's a status update text, right? There's a text, a transactional text. You come into my business, Carm, and I say, you know what, Carm, if you don't mind, instead of tying you up on the phone, I know you've got a podcast all day. I know you're going to be busy. How about we just send you some text updates and we communicate that way? And you go, you know what, that's fantastic. Let's deal that way. And that's the way I'm going to deal with business, right? And we make it so you're getting that information and you can text back and we can communicate two-way, very important. There's a lot of systems out there that are texting that text one way. Well, I work for Southwest Airlines and I can tell you right now their text updates when you get a flight delay or you get a flight change, they're one-way text, right? Well, you'd think Southwest Airlines being the greatest, customer service company in the world would figure out that people are going to respond to that text, right? And they're going to say, well, I haven't gotten an update in a while. What's happening? So, and by them not having the ability to respond, that just creates a dead weight. I'm not going to communicate with you via text because you've just killed that avenue. So the problem is now Southwest is going to have to overcome over time and say, okay, actually you can respond now. And we're going to respond back to that text, right? So I think two-way communication and then making sure that you differentiate between a marketing text, right? Hey, do you mind, Carm? Like Jeremy said, checkout process. Hey, Carm, you loved our service today. It's the first time you've been in. Carm, do you mind if we send you a text reminder for your oil change? And we might send you a coupon as well. And you're like, man, that sounds fantastic. But if you do it without the permission or you without that opt-in, then I agree with Jeremy. You're gonna piss off the majority of consumers out there because they're going to feel like it's spam. They're going to feel like, that's why people don't read emails anymore. Email used to have a 90%+ open rate, right, when it first started in the 90s, right? And text eventually we'll probably get that way, unfortunately. It will become probably a spam mechanism.
Text is almost more filtered because you choose to give out your cell phone number, and I believe you give it out less than you would your email.
Maybe more and more, I think it's becoming acceptable to give that number. There's with text, and I don't want to get all the legal, there was the TCPA Act of 1991, Telephone Consumer Protection Act. It's been amended 1,000 times, but it has a lot of legislature in there about texting consumers and about marketing texts. And Jiffy Lube, and there's a couple different companies that were sending these marketing texts without permissions, and they got fined thousands of dollars per text that they sent that were deemed as marketing texts. So that liability is still out there for a shop, and people will. Now, it's all based off of the fact, too, that you can't force a consumer to buy a product, right? You can't force consumption. And I think what happened was, you had to pay for text messaging rates and your data rates. And I think that now everybody gets text for free and you get phone for free. it amazes me, actually, we have it backwards, that now Facebook can push you, you know, and they can tie up your data all the time now and suck your data all day long. But, you know, they're not under any regulation because they have all the opt-in when you download a text. So that's what I'm saying. I think that's all going to change now that people get, you know, text for free, and they get it, now the regulation is going to start being more lax, I guess.
How much hardware do you have to put in a system like this?
It depends on the system that you want to put in. I would say this, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? Digital sales process, like Jeremy says, you can put in the digital process tomorrow. Go get a Google account. You can get a Google Voice account, right? And you can have your emails. You can, you know, take your PDFs from your shop management system, and you can send them via link to, you know, a Google Voice account. You can send them, you know, attached to your, you know, Gmail account. You could start that process now, right? You don't have to go out and purchase an Auto Text Me or a Bulletin or Auto Vitals. I think you can start immersing yourself for free, basically, a very cheap way. And then, you know, the grand scale of things, it depends. Auto Text Me, we're all web-based. So somebody has a web browser and internet connection, they get in. Some of the other products require, you know, applications to be downloaded. They require certain hardware, you know, to be there. I don't necessarily want somebody having to go out and buy 3 tablets to run our software. If they want to run our software with the laptop they have in the back shop, run it with the laptop you have in the back shop. Not a problem. I don't want to force you to have to go upgrade your equipment.
Jeremy, what else should we cover?
Well, I think a couple of things. There's one thing we didn't talk about, which is emerging, and it's something that is really emerged in my life recently. So I've connected more with people through Facebook Messenger that I, you know, guys I haven't talked to in 20 years. And as prevalent as Facebook is, as a shop owner and a service advisor, I would definitely want access to our account so I could, you know, friend request our clients and really get into that, because that could be another realm of communication, right? You know, Facebook messages that come through, they take up your home screen. There's that little face that floats around, you know, hey, you have a message, so you check it, right? So that's emerging. What about FaceTime video conferencing, right? So if I have a customer that has a really big issue with their car and they're just not getting it, should I be able to do a face-to-face video conference and say, hey, Carm, I'm actually in the shop. I've got your technician, Tim, here. Hey, Tim, say hi to Carm. Hey, Carm, I'm your tech. I really need you to see this. You know, this crack in your radiator is really bad. And I show the phone there, and the customer goes, wow, I get it. They're not trying to sell me anything. They're enrolled in the buying process and really, you know, making, they care about me. And that's really where it goes to. So you got to follow technology and what are the emerging trends. I don't know if I would jump on the video FaceTime bandwagon yet, but there are customers that may want that. So again, it's adapting to your client's style of communication. And
how many options are out there for this face-to-face?
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I can think of 10 right off the top of, you know, depending on which phone you have. So one of the things I teach in our advanced course is, you know, as a service advisor, you can, okay, so it's really interesting. We did a training yesterday with another shop and we're going through a role play, and I hit the service rep. I said, listen, there's 3 things you missed. You didn't listen. You were trying to sell me. You were on your agenda, forcing your agenda on me. You didn't listen to what I said. So the same thing, technology, pay attention to your customer. What kind of phone do they have? If you can answer the question, what type of phone your client has, it means you took that moment and looked at them and observed and took information in. And that's listening at its best, right? It's listening with your eyes. So there's a lot. I think it depends on the phone they have. You've got Skype, you've got, you know, a ton of other things that you can do with, you know, video conference.
What else?
Oh, I think we covered a lot. I mean, it's been good conversation. I mean, we could get technology. Unfortunately, we could talk hours and hours and hours. I mean, we hadn't even gotten into a lot of the, I mean, you talk shop management systems, right? So getting consumers to use our shops to use shop management systems. Well, what about a cloud-based shop management system, right? Why are we still buying? It's funny, technology, and I'll steal this from Uwe, and it was a good Uwe from Auto Vitals, and he gave this presentation in Chicago at the Ratchet Wrench thing. He said, you know, technology has a tendency to turn about every 6 months to a year. And so what happens is you still have shop management systems out there that haven't turned in 30 years, right? But you do have some that are very much, turning very quickly. They're very cutting edge. They're very, right? Wouldn't you say, Jeremy, there's some very good software systems out there.
There are, you know, they absolutely are. And again, it's, are you using it? How easy is it to adopt to? And is your staff going to use it right? If you put a digital inspection in place and you expect your technician to do it, is the user interface easy enough for your technician to do it? Because I guarantee if the technicians think paper's faster, they're going to throw the tablet in the trash and want to go back to paper because their time is money. The only thing your technicians have is time. They don't get paid, you know, compensation on parts or anything else. They've got to be turning a wrench to make time. So if you install something that takes 5 minutes on every car, they're going to hate it. So make sure it's easy to use. So
one final thought, guys, I think I mentioned a little earlier about Chris, and I think you may have answered me about finding the return, if you will, the opportunities that come in from this system. But Jeremy, have you ever been able to build a financial model for a return?
Yeah. As far as return on investment.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So 2 years ago, when this started emerging, we did a study with our clients, 10 shops all across North America from West Coast to East Coast. We looked at 200 different repair orders, those with visual evidence and those without. Now, visual evidence could be you did a show and tell where you took the customer into the shop and showed them what needed to be done. And then the other one was the cassette method, which is the call the customer on the phone and drag them through the presentation. The numbers were staggering. We had a $259 average repair order without, and we had a $469 average repair order with. So the numbers were absolutely, it's about $175 difference in average ticket. And I've heard higher numbers. I was at another, I was actually up at Autobots, and one of the guys up there said that his average repair order has increased 500. And I said, hey, a $500 ARO, that's pretty good. He said, no, you misheard me. My average repair order has increased $500. And I said, so were you doing like $100 per ticket before? He said, no, we were doing $750. They're now doing $1,250. So that's the power that we have with this golden age of automotive repair right now. So it's here.
A great and almost a great and fitting end to our podcast. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was going to say, so Ratchet & Wrench did I was trying to find the article, but they did it on Shop Technology, who's using digital inspections. And I think their average repair order for a shop using a digital inspection was somewhere between $299 up to $599 or something like that. So the average RO versus the shop that were, you know, around the 200 mark range, right? The $200, $300 range. So I agree with Jeremy. You see a definite difference in your repair order and you know, what you're
Thanks. Hey, look at Chris. If you could look that URL up and send it to me, I'll include it on the show notes page for this episode. Hey, guys. Wow. Chris Cloutier, Jeremy O'Neill. You got to catch Jeremy on his own episode 124. Thanks for being here. I really enjoyed this, and I know our listeners are going to just love it. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Carm.
Thanks, Carm. You rock.
Hey, guys and gals, thanks so much for listening. Find additional show notes on this episode with Jeremy O'Neill and Chris Cloutier at remarkableresults.biz. That's BIZ/E178. You can also download Jeremy's book called Shift, Selling to a New Generation of Tech-Savvy Consumers on the page. You can also subscribe to all my social networks and enjoy every podcast by genre. Hey, if you're listening in your car via Bluetooth on a subscription service, thanks a lot. Hey, you're an important reason I bring you these interviews, so you can profit from the wisdom found in each episode. So help spread the word. Your help is needed to bring these stories to our industry, and I'm grateful and thankful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.